Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Sessions G. This is episode 8, I believe, and the fourth psychedelic session. I'm so excited to have Leroy with us today. I hope you enjoy this podcast as much as I'm sure we will. Leroy, welcome to the podcast. Please feel free to introduce yourself.
Hi there, Gabrielle. My name is Leroy. I am 26 years old, and this is my first year discovering psychedelics. And so far, it's been a game changer towards my mental health and how I perceive life in general. And it's an honor to meet you, and I'm thankful for being on this podcast. So thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's so good to have you here. So it's been about a year. How did that happen? How did you first come across psychedelics?
Well, let's begin with the whole start of 2019. It was, I like to say, a very stress-inducing time in my life regarding getting out of the military and coming back into society. A very big change, as the military is a very high stress, high anxiety type of living that you don't really notice until you come back out and you realize, what the hell, what's going on with me? You have no idea that you're living under so much stress at the time. And that is one thing psychedelics has taught me, that I was living under a lot of stress at the time. So, let's see. March 2020 was my first time taking psychedelics, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but it was one of the wildest trips of my life. I'll begin with the time I got the psychedelics was my buddy. He introduced me. He said, "Hey, you should try some of these shrooms." I'm like, "All right, I'll give it a shot." And took the shrooms, went up into my bedroom, and that's when I had my rebirth, essentially. So I was laying down in my bedroom, and I'm on the phone with my buddy, and I was telling him, "Look, man, I took these shrooms. I have no idea what's going to happen now, but we'll see." So I'm laying under my blanket, and I start to just the lines of consciousness started to blur. I felt like I was on that level of, it was essentially an ego death. And my father came into my room, and I like to say the last couple of years, me and him weren't getting along. And it came to the point where when I was living under his house, I had zero emotion. Like, me and him were going down a very bad path, and the shrooms just helped me realize that was my main problem right there, and not to hold much resentment against my father. So, yeah. And now I'm about, what month are we in? We're in December. And so far, my stress levels, my anxiety, I have to give it all to the psychedelics for helping me realize what was right in front of my face. And that's essentially the stress and the anxiety.
Yeah. And, you know, the interesting thing is that this happens. This is a common experience among a lot of people, that first experience with psychedelics, whether it's shrooms or ayahuasca or LSD, it, for a lot of people, it feels like a rebirth. It feels like a huge wake-up call, or sort of like a flashlight suddenly lights up a very specific area, key area of life that, you know, if we were to only just look at that, we discover that there's so much we can do by working on that area to resolve a lot of issues in our lives. And it kind of I think the common thread is that it illuminates something and it brings up an insight in a very powerful and profound way. And that often leads to people wanting to explore that more and kind of go with the flow of that journey. So that was your one experience. For one, did you continue to have more of those experiences, or did you sort of perhaps try out microdosing?
Yes, I actually decided it was such a profound moment in my life that I give it one of the top three profound moments of my life, that psychedelic experience, that I wanted to venture further into seeing what more my consciousness had inside my head. That was basically the beginning of the new me, I would like to say. I started to go down the lines doing a lot of research on philosophy, the consciousness, the mind, what other psychedelics are out there that can essentially transform your perception of life. And from there, I found acid, and that was also a new profound, the feeling that I've received from taking a hit of LSD was also a game changer as well. I can't fathom into words the things that I see, that your brain can perceive. Is you feel like you have all the answers, but you just got to take what you get from that experience and bring it out into real, into this time right now, being in the presence. And the lessons that I've learned from psychedelics, you have to really, really respect the psychedelics, because I did try to go back into that consciousness realm again with the mushrooms, and it felt like it didn't want me to go back in, because I did have a very, very bad trip where I was constantly stuck in this loop, and it was a very, very weird feeling. But you have to really respect the psychedelics, and that's one thing that I've learned over this time: respect of the psychedelics and respect of life.
Yeah, that is so beautiful, and it's definitely true. And sometimes for some of us, learning that lesson can take a bit longer than others. So I'm glad that you've learned that lesson now, and it sounds like you're applying it in your life, which in my opinion, I think that will certainly help make these, it will help you build this relationship in a healthy way with the psychedelics. And that's a very important, I think, component of being with them. I just wanted to say what you're saying there about the sort of extraordinary mind opener that a lot of these first times can be. I definitely resonate with that. My very first experience of shrooms was beyond at my wildest imagination. I, you know, came out of there thinking I had no idea I could imagine any of these things. I had no idea my brain was capable of going into this an entirely different layer of consciousness, tapping into an entirely different perception of reality. And that was very, very cool. And I also have to say that, you know, over a decade later, one of my experiences with ayahuasca, even though that was not my first experience with ayahuasca, even after all of those experiences with psychedelics, I still feel that those incredible eye-opening experiences still happen, even if it's not the first time. And it's still amazing. Like, I could tell you about one of the very profound moments for me was in being able, and this is with ayahuasca, being able to return to myself as a child, like as an 8 or 9 year old, and being to vividly be in the presence of that little girl. Just vivid. It felt like I had traveled back in time, and I was in that present moment. And it felt so vivid and so real. And I, you know, that for me was a game changer, because I had no idea that I could actually, that it was possible to access memories that vividly.
And that's the crazy thing about psychedelics. It helps you question what it is we're all perceived, that we all have different perceptions of what is reality, what is happening right now in front of our face. It brings back a lot of emotion, the things that we grew up knowing, thinking what was real, to what we know now is a big wide open, is a big eye opener, because it comes down to it that we don't really know much of what's going on in this world, because we're all stuck. We're all stuck with how we're all raised, our culture, our upbringing, what we've perceived within life. Mm-hmm. And once you open up your mind and realize that everybody in this world has gone through their own travels, their own journeys, you begin to realize that that the term empathy has been a word that's resonated with me for a long time, being able to feel the emotions, put yourself inside someone else's shoes. And that is something mm-hmm. that I feel is lacking within our society, is being able to empathize with people. See, I work with a lot of, I like to say, alpha males throughout my life, and their perception of life is they're all about money and the material items in life that mm-hmm. I just never, growing up in life, I've always wondered, why are people so materialistic? Like, all this stuff, eventually we can't bring it to our graves. So being able to empathize with other people is honestly it's a blessing and a curse, but more of a blessing nowadays, given the time that we're in, this COVID-19 era. And I feel like psychedelics is going to help bring the empathy. My biggest thing is I would wish a lot of politicians would take psychedelics so they can see mm-hmm. what the average folk get on, like what the average folk live with. And that's, yeah, empathy. It's a word out there that not a lot of people know, and that's it's a big thing for me mm-hmm. right now. And speaking of your ayahuasca trip, where did you take it? Because I've been doing a lot of research on ayahuasca as well, and I feel once the borders and everything else, and once they all open, that's definitely a trip I'd love to take. I was looking at one down in Peru. And how did you get in touch with ayahuasca?
Yeah, so for me, I certainly did a lot of research, and I had a friend who'd gone down to Ecuador and had recommended a place there because he had a great experience there. So though that was sort of on the top of my list of places to go, I wound up just going with someone locally, simply because I knew that there were lots of other people in my network and community that trusted this particular shaman, and felt that was a safe container. They trusted him, so and because I, you know, trusted their ability to discern, you know, whether or not a space is sacred and is honoring and respecting the plants and the space and the people within it. That's kind of why I picked a specific shaman here. And I also, you know, I've also had it in a Santo Daime church. I don't know if you're familiar from your research. Have you come across?
Say again. Sorry, you broke up.
Nah, no problem. It's Santo Daime.
Santo Daime. What is that exactly?
Mm-hmm. So it's basically known as a religious organization that combines, spiritual Brazilian. It was founded in Brazil.
Yeah.
So indigenous spiritual ideals with a lot of Christ consciousness ideals. And part of their practice is to drink ayahuasca together in ceremony, as well as smoke cannabis. That's also a big part of that religion. So I've also participated in a Santo Daime ceremony. For me, for the most part so far, it has been locally within where I live.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something that I would love to explore in other areas of the world, like South America, Latin America. There are many places like Peru and Ecuador where you can go. It's just a matter of finding someone that you trust and feel comfortable and feel safe around and feel, someone that you vibe with.
Exactly. And one of the things about ayahuasca and the shamanism culture is that it's been documented that they've been using these things for thousands and thousands of years. Psychedelics has been a part of our life for millennia. And spirituality, Christianity is, I grew up as a Catholic and I wasn't a firm believer of the Catholic or the organization of religion, I would like to say. I always felt like there was a higher power, but after taking psychedelics, I really got in tune with my spirituality, knowing that everyone has their own definition of religion, but I feel like this, what psychedelics has taught me is that this is heaven on earth. We are all gods in our own minds. If a lot of people could realize that this earth that we're living on right now, it will come to a time where it will expel us. Like right now with global warming, it is giving us a message that we're doing something wrong, and eventually Earth will demolish us all and rebuild again, like it's done millions of times over. So the big respect to Earth, and I love the whole shamanism culture and how they take from the Earth and the Earth gives back to them. Really, really in touch with spirituality. So I would love to go down to either Peru or Brazil and see how the shamans live. And my dream is to eventually retire and just live in the forest, but we'll get that time.
That's many people's dream. I think a lot of people share that dream. For sure. What's something that you feel you've learned so far from the plants? What have they helped you learn so far?
Oh, I like to say the biggest thing I've learned so far is to be mindful, extremely mindful, and hold no resentment over my past. I used to be stuck living in the past for a very, very long time. And coming to terms with doing the readings and the videos that I've watched is you have to be extremely mindful, because if you continue to live in the past, you're no longer living for the future. You're no longer living in general, and that's how I was living for a very long time. And being mindful of where you are and the things that we perceive is a very big eye-opener that I've learned from psychedelics. Just being mindful, and I've done meditation as well, the Wim Hof breathing. He's also one of my big inspirations. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how just your breathing, our breath, can bring you into this space of tranquility. And I haven't been doing much meditation mm-hmm. lately, but I want to get back into it once the business is open. I want to go to a yoga studio and do more breath work. But the human body is just incredible. The human body, the human mind, the things that we think, like the consciousness is just one thing that we'll never, ever figure out. But it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. And breath is definitely, I'm always amazed at how powerful something that seems so simple really is. It seems like such a simple part of our everyday life. And half the time I'm not even aware that I'm breathing. I'm just doing it. And yet it is probably, I would say, one of the most powerful aspects of our lives. And there is so much power in working with breath, in getting to know it, in observing it, understanding it. And it's got so much to say, I tell you. It's got so much to say. It is an incredible source of wisdom, just breath alone. It's definitely amazing. It's definitely mind-blowing at times, how incredibly extraordinary it is. Breath, just breath on its own.
Yes, it's something I wish I learned a very long time ago. I wish, not that I wish, but I'm glad that I found it now. But the way that the generation, I'm sure you've witnessed it too, is we've been consumed with so much stressors within our life, either it comes from social media, our family, society. And now, since having my psychedelic experience, I see the stress within other people. I can see them worrying about the future, what happened in the past. And my biggest advice to a lot of people nowadays is just breathe, just focus on the breath. Everything's going to be all right. We are here. You're still alive. God gave life. And just don't, like Bob Marley said, don't worry about a thing. Everything's going to be all right.
Don't worry, be happy. Yeah. Yeah. So. What are some of the challenges you found in this journey with psychedelics for you? Were there any particular fears that came up, any resistance or just challenges in terms of logistics or practical application? What's been difficult about the journey?
I say right now, the most difficult part of the journey is letting the things that I've learned over the time, I want to bring it out to get other people more acquainted, more familiarized with psychedelics. And I'm glad this podcast and many more podcasts, the psychedelic revolution is essentially upon us right now, but we're still living under this bubble where people look at LSD, mushrooms, you bring up the topic and they give you this look like, whoa, you're crazy. Meanwhile, the pharmaceutical companies are giving just as worse drugs to cope with problems where psychedelics could be the answer. So the biggest struggle is just being open about my journey so far. It's really one of those conversations where I can have with such limited people right now. So I'm hoping eventually in time, I give it the next 10 years, where there's a lot of companies out there right now, especially in Canada, that are doing a lot of testing, a lot of research on the benefits of psychedelics and mental health.
Yeah, for sure. I know, for example, Iboga. Are you familiar with Iboga?
No, I'm not. Iboga, where are they based out of?
Well, iboga, I-B-O-G-A, it's essentially a plant in West Africa.
Okay.
And it's a psychedelic. And that, so it's basically, if you draw a parallel between the South American traditions and the African traditions, iboga would be the African tradition. And iboga, there have actually been enough studies with iboga, so much so that it's actually actively used to treat heroin addiction and severe forms of depression or mental illness. So there is some progress in terms of bringing psychedelics into the sort of mainstream pharmaceutical world. But we're definitely not there yet. Overall, we're not there yet. What about, like, have you found, what about challenges around integrating the kinds of insights that you have in the trips themselves, and then kind of applying that to your day-to-day life?
Yes, I've been finding myself being more self-aware of how I act these days when it comes to society lately. And we are also living in this COVID-19 time where tensions and stressors are really high. So I do see myself getting into those moments where life is just a drag, and why are people acting these types of way? But I got to, my biggest thing I tell my buddy, I got a third person this life, and just try to be mindful. But I do have the answers for how I'm supposed to feel, but bringing it out into real life. I know my biggest lesson I learned from my acid trip was I was laying there, and I was my second time doing acid, and my first time I only took 2 tabs, and I got into a really deep write. I was writing a lot of how I felt, everything that came into my brain. The second time was when the visuals came, and it was the most, I couldn't believe the things that I was seeing. But the biggest thing that I did see, I wanted questions. I wanted the visuals to show me, like, what do you want me to see? And what I did see was love. Love is the answer to a lot of our problems in life. And trying to transition love into the society we have right now is a very, very big struggle for myself. But I feel like that love is one thing missing out of our life. We've been so programmed with hate throughout our lives that we become numb. We become numb, desensitized to a lot of things that we see. So bringing love back into this generation will go a very, very long way. Very long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of my meditation today. One of the things that came up for me in meditation was essentially, I'll try and paint a picture here. So if we imagine that everything is connected and it all flows, it's all part of a river that flows from its main source. And that river, that flow, is, you know, divine love. It's eternal presence. It's just eternal being. And love is a word that we use to describe it. Although I don't think it quite describes it. I think it's a lot more than just the word love. That in itself restricts or limits it in some ways. It's very difficult to describe that eternal river. But so we're all flowing from this eternal river, from the source and out. And we ourselves, as parts or waves on this river, we ourselves, our lives and our relationships with people and the ecosystem around us, whether that's trees or squirrels in the neighborhoods or, you know, our pets, those are all rivers. Those are all essentially like our river flowing from us as the source. And we flow from that eternal river. And that is the natural state, and it's a natural course of all things. And when we choose, we essentially, well, this is what I felt in my meditation, was that we make choices. We decide for one reason or another that we can't have that flow. We have to sort of put a stop to that natural flow of love. And we do that sometimes because, for example, relationship with a parent, like for me, one of the things that came up was my relationship with my parents. I chose that at one point or another that healing that relationship was either unlikely or not possible right now, or just really, really difficult. And in making that decision, I essentially set a block in that flow of love from myself to them. That just because, you know, I was either afraid that they weren't going to be able to effectively show up for that healing process, or afraid that they're not going to love me the way I think I want them to or need them to, or maybe I'm not going to be good enough or maybe I'm going to fail at playing my part in what's necessary to build and that healing in our relationship. And so in that decision-making process, I essentially, you know, I cut a tree down, a really big one, and I let it fall across this river that flows between myself and either one of my parents. And in doing so, I've blocked the flow of that love from me to them, and which also reflects back to the love that flows down this river from the eternal source to me, that's supposed to, in its natural being, in its natural state, flow from that through me to my parents. And so it's our choices that create those blocks. It's our choices to either not want to face something, not want to work on something, or of being afraid that we're not going to be able to do it, or we're not going to succeed, or whatever it is that informs that decision. We make that decision.
And that is extremely profound. Did you learn this all from meditation, or is this through your psychedelic adventures as well, or psychedelic journey as well? Because for me, meditation is a very new concept to me, and I want to hear how you meditate.
So this was my meditation this morning before we did this podcast, and meditation, I mean, I think on one level, it is certainly having this meditation today. I believe that it is a product of everything that came before it. So there were many other circumstances that made it possible for me to have this insight today. So it's not as though it is exclusively this meditation that allowed me to see that. It's definitely everything else that's involved. It all works together to make that possible. That said, it is from this morning's meditation. And meditation for me, it's a very intuitive process. That's what it is. It's intuitive. It's about being present to myself and whatever that looks like, and just kind of listening to what's going on, or just watching. And sometimes it's not just watching. Sometimes it's actively being swept away by some sort of tornado or a hurricane. It's not always. And I call it non-meditation meditation. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
and it's I just find it wild. See, this is a new journey for me, and learning everything about meditation, my spirituality, this psychedelic journey. It's a newfound I'm a new beginner to this type of life, and I like learning from. That's my biggest, my one of the biggest things I've learned too, is being able to learn from other people and taking those experiences and trying to relate it back to my life, even though the term life is so big that you can't even define it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have also discovered microdosing as well. I know you talked about that earlier. Microdosing. Mm-hmm. I do microdose. I'm on probably a good month of microdosing. I'm doing the Paul Statman's stack, and I use it primarily for anxiety throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, it has been a very, very big game changer for my life. And it's something that I want to bring out to a lot of people that's dealing with anxiety, depression, stress. I mean, it's not the end all be all, the cure for everything, but I do see a big change within the pharmaceutical industry, where psychedelics will eventually take off and help people. The biggest word being help, not basket, which is what the pharmaceutical industry has done for the past 30 years. So yeah, I'm hoping psychedelics, the microdosing scene does bring the mind revolution that it should bring, and ease everybody's stress and anxiety and the day-to-day pressures of society that we're going through, which, in my opinion, the way society is going down, it's not a very good path that we're leading. And that's why I love the ancient cultures of the shamanisms, the Peruvians, the natives, even the natives that were in North America. The way they live life is essentially how we all should have been living life. I mean, I look back at my culture. A lot of people like to ask me what my background is, and my parents are from Trinidad and Guyana, but I like to say I really don't know where my background is, because where the boat actually dropped us off, that's where it dropped us off. I have no idea where I came from, my background, my deep ancestry. And those are the questions that psychedelics has helped me ask as well. Like, I believe that everyone has a story, and for that story to die when you die is a very big, you don't want to be forgotten when you die. So your story should live on.
And yeah. I mean, I think that the story does live on regardless. I mean, all of our ancestors, their stories do live on. They live on through us. They live on through the planet itself. Our bodies, they disintegrate and turn to dust, and then that dust is in the soil, and then that soil, you know, becomes something else, and we either consume the thing that the soil has become, or we build on it and live on it, or we sit on it, you know, next to a tree. Either way, ancestors are everywhere, because we die and our bodies become a part of the planet. That's just what naturally happens. So in some way, every ancestor is still present, and so we will also in some way continue to be present long after we our consciousness has left, or we have left, depending on what actually happens to us when we go. But what's that experience been like for you in connecting with those answers around ancestry? What have the what have psychedelics taught you so far, or what have you been able to open up to, or what kinds of possibilities has it led you to?
Well, it definitely has led me to repair my my relationship with my family. It's not where I want it to be right now, but it is a start, because I did do a lot of before psychedelics, I was questioning a lot of why things are the way they are. Why am I like this? Why is the family like this? Mm-hmm. And after taking psychedelics, I received those answers, not to worry about why it's like this, but to move forward and to repair those bonds that have been broken. Because the biggest thing is, this is we only have one life to live, and when somebody passes away, that's when you realize, and you were on bad terms, that's when you realize, like, wow, I should have done more, but I was too caught up with myself, what I was going on inside my head, to really be the mature one and repair those bonds. So that's one of the biggest things I've taken away from psychedelics, is to not let the past hold us back, especially within your family, because family is the biggest thing we have so far.
And yeah, that's such a great shift to go from asking why things are the way they are to repair. That is such an amazing shift. It's such an amazing shift.
Yeah. It's bringing a lot of joy and happiness and less stress. I think my family can see that I'm going down a good path ever since. I did give them a good scare with my psychedelic adventure. They had no idea what was going on, but I think they did see that after that, they knew I was going through a lot of stuff regarding my mental health. But after that journey, I have to say it was probably the most profound moment of my life, that I when I look back on it, I now think I did have a big ego death, but it helped me realize that I can't be fighting with my father all the time, giving everybody such a stop worrying about myself, all my problems, and realize that there's a bigger world out there that everybody else is going through, their own struggles, their own problems. And I can't say that none of my stuff really mattered, but be open to everybody else.
Mm-hmm. That brings us back to empathy and compassion, right? When we are able to be empathetic, and compassionate, we're able to see that, you know, other people more often than not don't mean to do what they are doing, and they are doing the best they can. And they are also facing the same things that we are, you know, and life, it's a beautiful gift. It offers us so much. And it can also be very difficult to navigate if we don't feel like we understand what's going on. And not understanding what's going on in life, you know, I think that causes quite a bit of suffering for most of us. Empathy and compassion. I'm so glad that that's something that you've been able to apply in your life lately. That is really great to hear.
Thank you. Yeah, so far I'm enjoying. I was living under a lot of stress, especially with this COVID, but now seeing that there's more to life than what we perceive is such a blessing, that my stress levels have definitely receded down to a minimum at this point, where I can maintain and just relax and not worry much about what I perceive in the future and the past. That's my biggest takeaway. And I hope eventually down the future that we could all, everyone, my biggest thing is life doesn't really have to be this way. The biggest word is love. And yeah, just this earth, it's beautiful. So
It's a beautiful expression of love. Such a beautiful expression. I don't know if it is the ultimate expression of love, but it certainly is an incredible expression of love, and everything in it is as well. And so are we. We ourselves are an expression of love, and we are an extension of that beautiful gift that, you know, is very hard to put into words, because it's profoundly serene, really. That's all I can come up with right now. I'm sure if you check back with me tomorrow, I'll have other words for it. So I want to dig a little deeper into the sort of the practical, what it actually looks like in real life, in terms of the effects that psychedelics have had on your experiences with your mental health. And I want to dig into that, because I know that there are many, many people who either struggled with severe depression or suicidality or other had other forms of mental health struggles, and they come to psychedelics. And for some people, you know, there's sort of like a profound realization that changes things for the rest of their lives. And for others, it's a profound insight that is sort of like a seed that's planted. And the more they nourish and water that seed, it grows into the kinds of tools and practices that help them cope or help them work through those mental health issues. And I think that it's important to talk about that, because I think some people assume that they are going to have like an immediate cure when they come to psychedelics. And that's not the case for everyone. It for most people, and this is my opinion, it's not an immediate cure, and it's more like an ongoing process, a work in progress. And what psychedelics can do is help you on that path. So bringing it back to you, what does that look like in real life for you? Has it had sort of an immediate effect? Did you feel like you had that first experience with shrooms and you're cured of all the sort of experiences that you find that you label as mental health challenges, or was it simply an opening?
That word opening is correct, because it wasn't a complete cure all be all. My first time with shrooms, I did no research. I had no idea about the healing properties that psychedelics had. So coming out of my trip, my first time with mushrooms, I didn't realize what was going on with me. Everything started to seem the day after was really clear, and it helped me open up my mind to a lot of possibilities of what I was able to attain in the questions that I was beginning to ask, that I felt like it was a mental clarity, as I would like to call it. Mm-hmm. Before the psychedelic, before my shroom trip, my brain was clouded, each and every day with resentment, being emotionless, being very, emotionless. And after my trip, it was, the fog started to clear, and I was able to see clearly of what was right in front of me. And I had no idea at the time that shrooms could do this for you. So I was mm-hmm. wondering what was going on here. So I started doing a lot of digging on psychedelics. And that's when I realized I wasn't the only person having these type of realizations. And from there on, I started doing more research. And I began to write down. I was never a big writer. I was never a big reader. And after my trip, I began realizing that I love doing, these are the things I like doing, is reading a lot of books, educating myself, and writing down what was going on inside my head and putting it down on paper. And that was one of the healing processes that I'd taken away from psychedelics, was to not store a million thoughts inside my head and to get it down on paper. So going back to the mental health aspect, I do believe that it is not an end-all be-all cure, because I do have some friends I've taken psychedelics and they are the same old self, and it's you would think they would have a profound experience, but I think they just take it for fun. But for me, it's helped me be in tune with myself and my spirituality. So it is for some people, and for other people that are, it's all of how you want to take it, essentially. If you want to have that profound experience and help yourself, then I think psychedelics will help you see that light. But if you're just taking it just to go out and party and have a good time, then you probably won't get that profound experience. So it's all about how, where your mental state is at that point.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. What do you sort of see yourself doing with where do you see this relationship with psychedelics going in your life?
See, that is a great question, because I do see psychedelics as a very, very big part of my life right now, where my coworkers that I work with, they do tell me stories about their kids having anxiety or they're taking these pills and it's not working. And microdosing has been a big game changer within my life, that I want to bring that out to the people that are dealing with mental health issues. So I want to eventually get into the mental health aspects with psychedelics, and to be able to help people. That is my journey right now, being able to figure out how I can help people. So right now, what am I doing? I am trying to bring microdosing, trying to figure out how to get microdosing down into the city. So right now it's a very, very niche market, but I take it one day at a time. So we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. And maybe it'll be helpful to sort of dive a little further into the anxiety that you feel it has really helped with. What does that look like for you? What does that feel like? Do you feel a subtle change in your body when you're microdosing, or is it that you notice that the anxiety is not there anymore?
Yeah, it's being able to notice. I was never able to notice that I did have anxiety, and microdosing right now, I am able to see, like, to look back and think on my thought, like, why are you feeling this? So being able to question my own feelings is a big game changer, where I can identify that I do have high anxiety levels right now. So being able to maintain those levels, anxiety isn't all negative. It is normal to have those stressors, but yeah, being able to identify when I do have a lot of anxiety has been very great. That was something that I learned with microdosing.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, that the way you put it, being able to identify it and not viewing it as necessarily negative, because if you think about it, we are human beings, right? And we have various instincts for a reason. You know, we're obviously not out in the wild and subject to a lion eating us or something like that. You know, our safety and security has changed, and that's because we live under the current circumstances. However, that said, those instincts are still a natural parts of us, and so it makes sense for us to have kind of like a a radar for things that may or may not pose a threat to us. And that's what anxiety is. I mean, for me, that's what it is. It's a radar that indicates to me that, hey, there may be some danger here. There may be something here that you need to be aware of. So it's a radar. That's all it is. And it doesn't have to be a bad thing. But when we acknowledge that from that perspective and we can identify it when it's occurring, now we're open to seeing what it is actually, you know, pointing at. And then we can decide whether or not that danger is real or imagined. And we can go from there.
Exactly. And that's been one of my hardest things too. I become so very, very mellow over the time that I do find myself not seeing the dangers that are there. I think most people usually have good intentions, and me being me nowadays, I don't really notice. It's hard to notice when somebody just the dangers, I say, that are right in front of me that I should be aware to, but it's just being present in the moment and being able to analyze everything, as I like to say, without judgment.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Identifying things is a great practice to develop and get better at. Oh man, this was such a great conversation. Is there anything else that kind of comes to mind for you that you want to talk about or share?
To anybody that's listening that they do find themselves, my biggest thing with psychedelics is the mental health aspect. If they are going through mm-hmm. anything going on regarding mental health, is to don't be afraid to say you need help. That is the biggest one, because I was very scared to say I needed help or that something was going on mentally. And don't be scared. Let other people know that something's going on, because you can't suffer in silence. You cannot suffer in silence. So that's my message I want to get out there to the people.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. And to add to that, you know, that fear and that hesitation is normal. You know, it's perfectly normal to feel that way and to not want to reach out and not want to tell someone. Yeah, but don't be afraid to do it. Just do it. Or at least, you know, do whatever you can to take steps that bring you closer and closer to telling someone. And, you know, it's important to know that there are many, many resources out there and many people who have had similar experiences or are experiencing the same thing and are more than happy to help. You know, there's a community out there that can offer support.
Exactly. And being able to identify what community will help you and how to attain that help is going to be a big thing, where I think mental health is one of those the very dark topics not a lot of people like to talk about, but it's eventually changing because we are entering a landscape where there is a lot of issues going on within life. So being making it more open, an open topic where you don't have to be ashamed to talk about your mental health, will go a very long way in the future.
Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you so much, Leroy. It was a wonderful conversation. I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, you're welcome to come back anytime on this podcast. And yeah, thank you. Thank you,
Gabrielle, for giving me the chance to get on here. It's my first time doing something like this. So this was great. I could sense my anxiety levels going through the roofs, but being able to control it through this podcast has it's a first. So I'm proud of myself, and I thank you for everything that you're doing, trying to get the message out and removing that stigma from psychedelics that it once had. And I wish you all the blessings in the, for the future, because you, I feel like we are going, this whole generation's going down the right path of enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm so proud of you too. Well done. Well done. I think you did absolutely great. I would not have known at all that you were anxious at any point. It certainly was lost on me. So very proud of you.
Thank you so much. It was great talking with you.
And there you have it. That was episode 7 or 8. I'm not sure which. Let's go with 8. Psychedelic session 4, 3 or 4. Again, really not keeping up with all the numbers. I what I probably could do to solve that problem is start writing it down and having that in front of me so that I know exactly what episode we're on and exactly what session. Or you know what, I cannot do that and stop mentioning the number associated with the episode. So that we could also just refer to it in different ways, or I could. Either way, it doesn't matter. That was a beautiful session. I hope you enjoyed that. I most certainly did, and it sounds like Leroy did as well. Yeah, man, life is such a beautiful, beautiful gift, and truly for me, one of the most beautiful parts of life is the connection that I get to share with other people. Feeling connected, feeling a sense of community, feeling a sense of familiarity, oneness, feeling like we are one big family. That's sort of what these connections with various people, humans, drives home for me. It makes me feel like we are a family. We are a family, and the name of our family is nature, and all of nature is part of that family, and it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm so grateful. Like I said, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. This is a very long outro, and that's okay. I hope that you keep listening. Please share any feedback. Please share the podcast, and do come back, because there will be more. There will certainly be more. And if you want to come on the podcast, that's great too. I would be more than happy to have you. It would be an honor and a gift to get to connect with you as well, whoever you are out there. Until next time, thanks again for checking in.